You are listening to a Commonwealth Bank of Australia Global Economic and Markets Research Podcast. This podcast provides general market-related information and is not intended to be an investment research report. The information contained in this podcast is based on previously published material, and before listening, you're advised to read the full Global Economic and Markets Research disclaimers, which can be found at combankresearch.com.au.
Welcome to the CommBank Global Economic and Markets Research Podcast. My name is Belinda Allen and I'm a senior economist here at CommBank. And today I'm joined by Carol Kong from our international economics team. Carol, great to have you on today.
Thanks, Belinda. Great to be here.
Now, today we're going to talk about the global economy and whether or not it needs a confidence shot. Now, this may have more than one meaning, as we'll find out very shortly as we go through the podcast. It's a little bit of a teaser there. But first of all, we want to talk about how COVID cases globally are going. And in particular, what we've seen in recent weeks is we've seen rising COVID cases in the US and Europe as well. We're calling this the second wave. Is the second wave different to the first wave?
Well, part of our job during this pandemic is to monitor the virus development very closely. And that is because the global economic outlook is tied to the path of the virus. And one thing we've noticed about this second wave of COVID is that the death rate has been a lot lower compared to the first wave back in March and April, despite much higher infections. And among all the major economies that we cover, this trend is particularly visible in the US, the UK, as well as some parts of Europe. And I think there are three main reasons behind this. First, more virus testing has been done, and that has really captured people with mild or even no symptoms of COVID-19. Second, the high-risk population have learned to take precautions. For example, older people are now more likely to stay at home just to avoid catching the virus from other people. And lastly, doctors now know so much better about how to treat COVID patients. And that's why infections in the second wave have been a lot more concentrated on young people who tend to have a lower risk of hospitalization and death. And so we are actually in a much better position today than we were back in the first wave.
It's amazing how much we've learned about the virus over this period of time since February, March and April, where we did see the first wave. And also I think governments are learning more about how to deal with this second wave as well. But you are seeing some variations in government reaction to the second wave. You're seeing, you know, for example, the very strict lockdown measures in Victoria, but that differs to what we're seeing in the US and Europe as well. Do you think through the second wave, will lockdown measures be introduced or will there be a different impact on the economy from the second wave?
Well, generally speaking, the lower hospitalisation and death rates in the second wave of COVID will help ease the pressures on the overall healthcare system. And as a result of that, governments around the world can now adopt a less heavy-handed approach to tackling the outbreaks. I mean, if you look at the US, no widespread lockdowns have been imposed despite the surge in coronavirus cases. And it is only until recently that some European countries have headed back into a nationwide lockdown. I believe Germany and France are the latest countries that have announced they would return to some sort of lockdown for 1 month. But I think most people would agree that it wasn't an easy decision. These governments had tried to control the virus's spread using alternative measures such as curfews before turning to a full lockdown, which really is their last resort. And in terms of the economic impact, widespread lockdowns that significantly limit people's mobility will threaten the economic recovery. For example, there is now a higher risk of a double dip recession in the Eurozone, just given the tightening in government restrictions we've seen in the region. And for those countries that have avoided a large-scale lockdown, existing restrictions may still hold back their recovery. And I think another important point to make here is that the economic impact will be even larger if consumers self-regulate on top of the government-imposed restrictions because of fears of catching the virus. So the bottom line here is that both government-imposed restrictions and voluntary social distancing will have a large bearing on the global economic recovery.
I think that last point is very important, and that's certainly some evidence that we have seen, particularly in Sweden, where there wasn't widespread lockdown measures, but we did see individuals really self-regulate. And I think a lot of that has to do with the confidence over the health outcome. If we can sort that out, then that will obviously help the economic outcome as well. But what policy options, what policy options are available for governments globally to help the economy?
Well, in my note, I talked about how the global economy needs some confidence shots, and they really are just the support that can help ease consumers' fear that we mentioned earlier, and in turn boost the economic recovery. And one of the confidence shots is provided by economic policy. Since the pandemic, we have witnessed some unprecedented coordination between monetary and fiscal policies. However, with the interest rates now about as low as they can go in many advanced economies, monetary policy will now play a supporting role in the recovery. And in fact, you may have noticed from many central bankers' speeches where they emphasize how important government fiscal policy is. And we totally agree. Fiscal policy will be a much more powerful shot to the global economy during this pandemic simply because of their ability to directly stimulate the economy.
We have certainly seen that in Australia. So we know here interest rates are at very low levels. We do think the RBA will further ease interest rates at its November meeting, but that will be down to just 0.1%. Whereas, as you say, globally, other central banks are down at their effective lower bound, and fiscal policy is really needed to help drive the economy. Now, the other confidence shot that could be given to the world economy is obviously a vaccine as well. How is development looking in terms of a vaccine?
I think a lot of people are interested in that question, and they might be a little bit confused by the different and vast amounts of news we are reading every day, but according to the medical experts, the finish line is in sight. Among all the vaccines being developed, the vaccine from a pharmaceutical company called Pfizer appears to be the front runner. And according to the company, they could have the vaccine into the market as soon as late November or more likely December. However, Dr. Anthony Fauci, who is the US top infection disease expert, literally just came up today and said that a vaccine might not be ready until January next year. But regardless of when a vaccine becomes available, I think it is really important to note that the vaccine is being developed at an unprecedented speed. Normally, when we think about the time it takes to develop a vaccine, we are looking at about 10 years. But given the urgency to contain this whole pandemic, the vaccine development process is now being fast-tracked to as little as 12 to 18 months. And this faster development process has undoubtedly raised some questions about the safety of vaccines. I guess the recent pauses in the medical trial we've seen on the news may have also intensified people's concerns about different potential side effects of vaccines. And the effectiveness of vaccines is another issue in people's minds, I think. So it is really critical for companies and governments not to sacrifice safety and effectiveness for speed. Now, if people are too worried, they may not get vaccinated. And if a lot of people are not vaccinated, guess what? It will just prolong the pandemic and the economy's return back to what you might call normal, simple as that.
The big question is, what is normal going forward? But that's a discussion for a whole other day. And as you say, that hurdle is really the vaccine hesitancy. We had our head of international economics, Joseph Capurso, on in another podcast really talking about that and how the vaccine may not be the solution. So when we think about what the real confidence or the shot required in terms of to help drive that economic recovery, you know, what is it? It by the sound of it is really more need for fiscal policy.
Well, I think a combination of economic policies, especially fiscal policy, as well as a COVID-19 vaccine are needed. Until a vaccine is developed, it is really crucial governments and central banks work together to support the economy. In my opinion, the pace and strength of the economic recovery will largely hinge on the extent of their coordination. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, a COVID-19 vaccine is still needed to not only control the outbreaks, but also to restore public confidence. Now, remember, fear drives people's behavior, and people's behavior drives the economy. So given a safe and effective vaccine, people will then be able to feel comfortable again, dining out, shopping, and doing business like we all used to a year ago.
Seems like a long time ago. That is so true, though. It is really the confidence in the health outcome, confidence in the economic policies that will really help smooth this economic recovery. Carol, it's been wonderful to get your insights today. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks, Belinda.
Now, you can read Carol Kong's report on The Global Economy Needs a Confidence Shot, and this was published on the 21st of October 2020, and you can find that report on combankresearch.com.au.